Hi, I'm Casey Sharperson, international speaker, brand strategist, and author of the book Dream Build Repeat, Harness Fear to Confidently Pursue Your Biggest Dreams. Here on the Dream Build Repeat podcast, you'll find honest conversations on how to build the successful, joy-filled life of your dreams through both strategy and inspiration. We'll talk about faith, business, career, and everything in between. Ultimately, I want you to know that you're not alone, you don't have to have it all figured out, and that your dreams are valid. I believe that you're here for a reason, and I'm so glad you are. Let's go. All right. Welcome back to the Dream Build Repeat podcast. And I am super excited to have in what I know an insightful conversation with Andrew Nguyen. And a little bit about Andrew is a Hampton University alumni and co-founder of the O Agency and Build Your Own Brand, Inc. Both companies have served some of the top clients and entrepreneurs around the world, from digital marketing to full-scale and virtual event production. Andrew's clientele includes some of the top Pro Bowl athletes, CEOs, and corporations such as Verizon, Salesforce, Facebook, Red Bull, and so much more. Andrew was recently highlighted in Gary Vee's New York Times bestselling book, Crushing It, and regularly adds to editorial columns on Forbes, Entrepreneur, and many more. You can follow his journey online at Brand with Drew. So welcome, Drew.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate our journey that we've had in the past. And so I'm excited to be here, chat with you.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So I don't know if you remember this, but we met as a result of Instagram. So shout out to Instagram. Mm. I think that is where you meet the best people, to be honest. It's like a quick snapshot of, you know, who people are and really quick ways to connect. So we met on Instagram and then I reached out to you for a project and then.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes. And then you reached out and were like, hey, I'm doing this thing.
Now I remember. Yeah.
Do you want to help with it? Yeah. So how did you get to, we talked about build your own brand in your bio, but like before you got to building this event that you ended up, you know, bringing me on to help out with, like, what was your journey before that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bio kind of talked a little bit about it. I started my entrepreneurial journey kind of in college, right? Which was, you know, a while ago, but it just kind of came out of survival. You know, I'm a first gen, you know, everything, right? Like many different minorities and stuff like that. And my parents wanted me to do something very specific and, lawyer, doctor, engineer type of stuff. And I was like, I tried it. You know what I'm saying? It's not even like I said no, like I tried it, but then I tried it and I failed every single class. So I was like, man, I can't do this. And so I took it into my own hands. I for the first time, I just really started following my gut, my own intuition. Really started making decisions for myself, which was, you know, a bit risky at the time because I was still getting the support of my parents. But, you know, once I decided to make my own decisions, they were like, we're not going to support you no more. You know what I'm saying? So I was very much on my own. And that's when the entrepreneurial spirit really kicked in. And I went through, you know, just a crazy journey of just learning about myself and just, you know, figuring this stuff out, couch surfing, sleeping in my car, joining the military, starting a business and multiple businesses after that, all this good stuff. And but every failure is a lesson. You know what I'm saying? So over 10 years, you kind of just figure it out, right? You kind of figure out what works and what doesn't. So that's kind of what happened beforehand, in short.
Yeah. So it's always interesting to hear, you know, how people got to where they were. And there are those moments that really shift things, right? Like there are those moments that totally just shift and change your mindset. And I know that you were a Marine, so I would love to hear about that journey. My dad was a Marine, so it's just like a very special group of people, right? Yeah. So what made you go in that direction and what were
you know what's crazy? You know, it's crazy. I literally only joined because I needed money for school. Right. So like after I told my parents, nah, I'm not doing this, I'm gonna do my own thing. They were like not supportive. Right. They were like, all right, cool. Do your own thing. Right. And so I needed to figure out a way to get money for school. So I was just walking down a town center one day and it was just like a big recruiting office. And I walked in there and, you know, you had the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, all this good stuff. And from my like initial research, I was like, all right, who's the easiest? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want, you know, the benefits. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, Air Force, Navy, Army. So I literally just went down and started talking to all of them. Marines are like the last people I talked to. But it was just weird because like they couldn't offer me what I really needed, right? Because I was in a special situation where like I wanted to only give up my summers, but I still wanted to be in school full time, right? But I didn't want to do ROTC. So like there's a lot of different things. And then I walked into the Marine office and I was like, this is my situation. And they were like, all right, we got you. Because I think at the time, they were like, we need more smarter guys. We need more like college graduates, all this stuff. So we want you to stay in school. Just give us your summers, right? Everybody else is like, nah, you're gonna have to like do this, do that. I was like, whatever, F it. So then I just signed on the dotted line, did it. And then I told my parents a while later, hey, look, I'm going to Paris Island for like, you know, 13 weeks or whatever. And I just did it, man. It was a crazy journey. It was very interesting. I think I gained a lot of my mental strength from you know, going to boot camp and becoming a Marine and stuff like that. And yeah, man, you know, I don't know. There's a combination of so many things I say that I got out of that, not only from a mental, physical, but spiritual space as well. You know what I'm saying? You kind of need something to really push you through. So that was my experience, at least initially.
Yeah, I think it's funny that you said you wanted the easiest option because my dad is like, the Marines are so hard and like hardcore. And then they have all these other branches that are, you know, easier, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, I've heard some interesting stories about that.
Oh my gosh, it's like unlimited stories. I was literally talking to a friend the other day and I was like, because we were just reminiscing and he went to like the Air Force or something. I was like, yo, I was like, did they ever give you the peanut butter butt shot and like this and that? He's like, do you remember when they did this and that? It was just crazy stuff where like, it's just funny stuff. I told him all these stories about how like, I tried to sneak away to write a note, you know, at midnight and I got caught like in the bathroom and they threw me against the bathroom and just like, as I'm writing a note to my mom, like I just want to come home. It just be the craziest stuff, you know. It's like, it's just the ultimate like haze, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like my closest reaction, because we're both Greek, but like before I was Greek, I said, I'm sorry, I've been a competitive cheerleader. I was hazed, okay? Like, they were right. Mean, you know,
yeah,
but not to compare your military experience, but everything like leads and builds onto something else and like prepares you for where you go.
Yeah. I'm not even against it. I think what don't kill you make you stronger. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, that is true. So once you went through kind of your military journey, you then transitioned, totally changed your trajectory for what you were going to school for. Now you're in this marketing space. What did you think marketing was? Because I majored in marketing and I had a totally different view of what I thought it was when I was like 18 choosing that degree.
It's actually a great question. Yeah, it's actually a great question. So my major at Hampton was, I switched over to a five-year MBA program. So a master's in business administration. So it was a five-year program straight through. And most of it was finance and accounting. I maybe took like one marketing class, right? So between like me joining the military and then me actually getting into marketing was actually my entire college career, because I learned about marketing kind of on my own in a sense, right? I didn't get into marketing until after I graduated. I wanted to start a marketing agency only because during college, I then picked up multiple side hustles, and one of them was being a DJ, right? And as the story goes, I was very fortunate enough. You know, the DJ that was there, as soon as he graduated, he went on to become Justin Bieber's DJ, Tay James. And, you know, I was able to watch him, learn from him, all this good stuff. And so I started to just build up the ranks and stuff like that honestly, throughout the whole East Coast, right? And stuff like that. And so I learned marketing because honestly, this is when social media started popping up. To be honest, I think Instagram started when we were in school. You know what I'm saying? Like Twitter was probably the hottest thing. Facebook was getting old. Twitter was the hottest thing. Instagram came out, you know what I'm saying? And I just saw the ability to not only become a DJ, but to brand myself as a DJ, to build an audience, like you know, there's only like 6,000 people at the school and like 4,000 of them followed me, right? So like at any instant, I could damn near reach, you know what I'm saying, the entire school, you know what I'm saying, and say, hey, look, this is the move. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, we're going here this weekend. You know what I'm saying? And so I started to understand how you started to not only be the DJ, but be the promoter. And this could be in any situation, right? Or any service, right? Not only are you the hairdresser, but just the promoter of it, right? Not whatever your client, your service is, you're also the promoter of it as well, right? And so I learned through that. I saw what worked, what didn't. And that's really where I started to understand modern day marketing, right? And just building this audience, building an organic brand and the value of that. And to be honest, so much of that I took after I graduated, you know, working with my friends, clients, and ultimately even building BYOB. It was very much so brand driven, story driven type of approach. And it's worked very well for us.
So you were talking about what I heard was a lot of evolution, right? Like you started in one direction as a DJ, then you transitioned into marketing, and then you transitioned into multiple different things. And when I talk to women, especially the women that I coach, they feel this pressure to like choose one thing and they have to commit to that one thing and they can never change. So can you talk a little bit about what evolution has looked like and what maybe your growth has been just as a person, as a brand builder?
Oh, man. I definitely want to hear more when you say, when you talk to a lot of women. I don't know if I fully understood that, but I definitely understand the evolution part of your question.
Yeah, so what I find is that they have these ideas and they feel the pressure to choose the right one. And that is the one that just causes, I feel like, a lot of anxiety for them to like choose the best thing without understanding that you can grow and you can evolve.
Got it. Well, I think there's a couple ways to look at that. One is, when I look at my journey, I realize that you use the word evolution, which is pretty good. It's very cyclical. It's another word I've been using recently. I am a strong believer in this is like a very high, like high 30,000 view of that, right? I am very, very big on like every four seasons. Every, you know what I'm saying? Like something with the number four, not even like on a deep, like, you know, philosophical perspective, but I think I've started to notice trends, and I know that every 3 to 4 years, there tends to be a new trend, right? Or every 3 to 4 years, you might just grow into a new thing, right? Or have a new passion, or like you said, like you might go into something and then 3-4 years, you might change after that. And it's happened to me since I was 18 years old, I'll be honest with you. But I think that it goes so much deeper, because I think that part of it is, it's the way the world works. I think part of it is conditioning, but I think part of it is just true, right? Like even when you think about every 4 years, like even like in high school, we went to high school 4 years. In college, we went to college 4 years. It's this freshman, sophomore, junior, senior type of thing. And if you truly understand it, if you watch Shark Tank, right? And there's so many things that make you start thinking about this, right? If you watch Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary used to always say, after 3 years, if your business doesn't do well, take it behind the barn and shoot it up, right? Like it is a hobby. It is not a business at that point, right? Because you really do have a window of opportunity to figure stuff out in a sense, right? And even the IRS, they're like, yo, after 3 years, if your business is not making profit, like, yo, what's going on, right? It's around that 3 to 4 year thing, because that's just the time it takes, right? And so I think about that, because the way I think about it is, and then you can break it down with like college, right? Usually your freshman year, you come in, and whether it's freshman year in college or freshman year in a new project, a new passion, whatever it is, like you're excited, you're optimistic, everything is all good and dandy. Sophomore year, you might build momentum. Junior, it might be more momentum. By your senior, you're over it. You're like, I've been there, I've done that. You know what I'm saying? And I will promise you, that has happened to me every single time from 18 to 22. I did the whole DJing thing, right? Like I started from the beginning. I reached the top of what I knew I could reach. And then honestly, at that, by my fourth year, I was so over it. I was done with it. I knew that there was a ceiling to it. I was like, I'm done. So then I changed over. I would jump into marketing. And so I started over, learned marketing, built it, you know, built the whole agency from like, this is 2012, 2016, right? I built it, I grew it. Then it was like, cool, all right, cool. Like, I got to a good place, right? Then it's like, that's when BYOB started, 2016, 2017, right? And now we're looking at 2017, 18, 19, 20, right? 21, like we're right around that fourth year mark. And because I would tell you, like even last year and even the end of 2019, I was so over talking about business and branding. I'll be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Because it'd be the same questions from the same, asking the same thing, right? And it's like, there's so many other people that can talk about that. Like I've grown. You know what I'm saying? I went from a freshman to a senior in this subject matter. It's like, you know, the questions that you're asking me, let some sophomore or junior answer it. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it's just it. And the reason why that's important is because I found myself saying the exact same thing at every single panel, every single thing. I found myself not being as passionate about it. And what that happens is people no longer resonate at the level that they used to when I was super running it and I super believed in it. You know what I'm saying? And so now I'm already getting ready to become a freshman in the next thing, right? And I talked about that, right? With the production, we're getting into documentary filmmaking. Like now this is the next thing. This is the next level that excites me. You know what I'm saying? So I am really, really big on that. I've noticed that I truly, truly believe in it. For so many reasons, this just whole evolution of getting into a business, you know what I'm saying, doing your all, you know what I'm saying, reaching a certain point, and then honestly giving yourself the ability, you know, after that third, that fourth, that fifth season to be able to change, because either it's going to work for you and you're going to change, or you're going to get tired of it and it's going to change. You know what I'm saying? So I've noticed that tremendously. And I think that when you say, you know, you talk about these other women, just understanding that from a high level is important. I think finding what you want at the beginning is hard, but I think that you should, in my opinion, you should go where the audience, you know, resonates with, right? Or where the audience really gives you feedback, or where people are willing to pay you, right? Because that's how, you know, you really, really start to gain, you know, move the needle within a certain a business or a passion project, et cetera. So does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And I can definitely relate to the idea that it really sounds like people will put you into a box. Like you start to do something and then you get 100. Really good at it. And everybody wants to talk to you about that one thing. And you're like, but hey, I'm multifaceted. I have multiple dimensions and I'm learning and growing.
100%. 100%. I actually know so many peers and colleagues that have gone through this. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's almost like, you know, but you're right. People put you in a box, right? And they expect you to keep talking about that same thing, but it's like, we've grown. And so even transitioning is a whole skill set alone. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people can't do it. They feel like they are stuck in a box. And, you know, if they don't transition, that they can't, you know, grow or continue to make money or feed their family and stuff like that. But that's a whole skill and stuff. Then you just really become a slave of, you know, whatever you're doing, to be honest, because you're not passionate about it. You're literally doing it only for the money. It's literally like just going to work, and it's borderline just fake. You know what I'm saying? I was watching this documentary. It was so, so freaking good. Have you heard of Hot Mess Millionaire?
No, but
I promise you. I promise you should watch it. It was on Amazon. It's like 30 minutes. There's a young woman. It starts with her just going around doing conferences, filling out, you know, ballrooms, this and that. And she was like, inside, she was just dying, and she gave it all up. Like she spoke to me so much. Like, you should freaking watch it, because she shared some amazing things that I've been feeling, and I just couldn't even like wrap my mind around like what it was. Because she really, but it's a, you know, I do understand that it's a privilege to be in that situation, let alone, you know what I'm saying, to become a millionaire and then realize that money isn't, you know what I'm saying, everything, you know what I'm saying? And so I understand everyone that still wants to chase after that and still wants to go after that goal and stuff like that. Cause I mean, I don't know, you know, who am I to tell you do or don't, you know what I'm saying? All I can say is, and we've all heard it before. It's like, you know, money isn't going to bring you, you know, everything you want, but you know.
Yeah, no, so I'm definitely going to watch that. The latest business-ish documentary so I convinced my parents to watch the one about WeWork. Like it just.
Oh, I just watched it last week. So good.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I was watching it.
I watched it last week.
It's It's absurd. But as far as like making decisions around what you want your life to be, before we started recording, I just mentioned how like 2020 taught me a lot of things. But one of the things that it really showed me was that, you know, and my parents will tell you that I worked all the time, and my mom's like, oh, Casey's on another call. She works all day.
Yeah.
And I just made the decision, like what was most important to me was to have like flexibility and to be able to, you know, in my case, just kind of drop everything and like do what I needed to do with my family and for my family. So from that perspective, like that's where I'm building from now, instead of feeling the pressure to do whatever, you know, in order to just like, you know, pay bills, or it just like, to me,
the reality, you know what I genuinely think, like the reality is like, you have enough, most of us have enough to pay our bills. It's not even about that. It's about wanting more or keeping up, I believe. You know, I think that, you know, with everything that we see online, we constantly want more than just what our, you know, basic needs are and stuff like that. And honestly, I realized like I don't even need much, to be honest. I personally don't need much. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. so it's that comparison thing that's so like subconsciously programmed in our brains to want more. You know what I'm saying? Or to even feel like we need more. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so crazy. I've been studying a lot of that stuff. I mean, because even with my 2020, I mean, you talking about your 2020, I spent 6 months in therapy. You know what I'm saying? Like, fixing everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of stuff, man, that I had to like really, really work on. And I definitely feel like a brand new person. I'm really, really appreciative of 2020 just being that year that stopped. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It was something that I realized I wasn't very good at resting. And then like, since I've moved back to the South, I realized, I think it was very much like a location thing. So living in Northern Virginia, like the DC area, it's just like work, and you kind of get into that space and you get into that mold. And I realized, like you said, I told my friend the other day, I was like, I don't even really have real bills. Like I don't have real bills. And so like, what am I doing all this stuff for? As much as
Do you think being in Northern Virginia and the proximity of DC and just a lot of people hustling and going, just again, you're just kind of like in there too, doing, keeping up, right? Right.
And then when you go down south,
right. And then when you go see, but isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy how we're more of a product of our environment and not actually a product of who we feel like we want to be, and just more of what everything else is going on? And then we feel like that's just the right thing, right? Until you kind of get out of, in my opinion, the matrix itself, you know what I'm saying? And be like, yo, what really makes me happy? You know what I'm saying? Like, without even comparing or looking at anybody else, what just makes me want to make, like, what do I want to work on? What makes me happy? You know what I'm saying? How do I want to spend my time every day and not try to, you know, just because someone else is working, you know, 15 hours that I feel like I have to work 15 hours too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, I was like, when did I become this person?
Honestly, it's not your fault, man. It's not your fault. I'm be honest, I probably had a piece of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of us did, right? It's like 3 years ago, like building your own business, build your own, like it was the hottest thing in the world. And we all contributed to that culture. You know what I'm saying? Of like, you know, it's a very dangerous culture. It's a culture that, you know, says, hey, look, you know, you can make it this, you can do that, you can do this. All you have to boom, boom, boom. And it's like, it's so ingrained. And we think that it's normal when in reality, it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I started thinking about it, and from even the place that I am with people, which is around like making more money and doing all this type of stuff. Like I'm wanting to add like this other layer that says, what are you actually building and why are you building it? Because I work with women. Like when I do one-on-one coaching, I'm working with women. And in the end, I'm like, if you want to get married and have a family, like what are you building? You know,
building
something that aligns with that.
100%.
You have the flexibility to do what you need to do and do what you want to do.
The key is once you make a decision, that you made that decision. You know what I'm saying? You make your bed, you sleep in it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's really important, because, you know, people who regret, you know, stuff or feel bad or feel like they have more to do or more to prove, it's because you're making the wrong decisions. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to, that's when you know something isn't calibrated. You know what I'm saying? Like if there are certain feelings that come up, whether it's like not reaching your potential or, you know what I'm saying? Or regretting this or that, it's generally because you're not someone who's making the right decisions for yourself. You're probably making decisions based on your conditioning, based on your friends, based on peer pressure, based on social media. But once you do that, like you said, with like, if you want to get married, get married. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you genuinely want to do that, do that. You know what I'm saying? And like, enjoy that. And know what that comes with and what that doesn't come with. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't, like, the only reason you would get, you know, feel like you would make a bad decision is if you started comparing yourself. Like, oh, I'm behind. You know, like, but that's, again, that's comparing. Like, that's, yeah, you're like getting out of your own lane.
Yeah,
it's really important.
Social media, yeah, such a social media thing because
it is
travel. Like travel wasn't, nobody knew that you were supposed to travel like 3 and 4 times a year until the internet and until we saw everybody else doing this. We didn't know what we were supposed to have, what cars we were supposed to drive, and now
exactly. The internet is nothing more than a big I don't want to cuss, but a big old high school. It's a high school, you know, we're all watching and caring about each other. That's like, for what? It was fine back in high school. We had no responsibilities to care and wonder, you know, what cliques you want to be in and what friends you want to have and, you know, what parties you want to go to. But it's like after graduating, going into your 20s, upper 20s and 30s, like, why do we still have this mindset that we care so much about so many other people that have nothing to do or bring value to our lives? You know what I'm saying? But it's like the fact that it's just there, you know what I'm saying? Just makes you, you know, subconsciously think about it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy.
A crazy world that we live in. I have fallen off the face of the internet. I'll be back. I keep
same.
I'm gonna come back next week.
yo, I took 6 months off like last year, right? I've like never been happier. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, I low-key never want to come back on. Like if I didn't have to, you know, but I might later, but I don't know. I'm just feeling really, really, you know, aware and good in my own space right now.
No, I completely agree. So we're going to transition just briefly back to BYOB, not to talk about brand building, but to talk about like the event production of it. Like it was a huge event your very first year. And then even into your second year, you doubled and it was cool to see some of the behind the scenes of the process. Yeah. But one thing that really stood out to me kind of watching the entire thing was that you and your team were able to create a space where you had all of these people who were super committed to the vision. Like you had volunteers, you had people who were there as attendees that were really committed to the vision. And that's something that I feel like I don't see very often. And I would love to hear from your perspective, what it was like to kind of curate a space and lead it.
It was really, really cool. I'll tell you the secret or the answer to that. It's really, really simple. It's actually just very, very good storytelling. Yeah, it's just very, very good storytelling. When you think about your favorite movies or your favorite shows, the reason why you fall in love with it is just very, very good storytelling with very, very good characters, right? The reason we got Yvonne Orji from Insecure the first year was like, man, like Insecure is crushing it. Issa Rae, a storyteller, right? Created this series, right? Called Insecure that everybody fell in love with, right? And in that story, they fell in love with the characters, right? And I'm a character in my own story, right? And so it's storytelling is the secret to making that happen. And if you can get people to fall in love with you, the characters, the vision, all that good stuff, it's game over. You know what I'm saying? You can literally get them to get a lot of people to do a lot of things, you know, not for you, but for the bigger vision or the goal, right? That you're creating the story around, right? So it's almost like being that director, you know what I'm saying? Of your own life, of your own community, right? You have to really, really think about it like, you know, you know, when you think about it's so deep, which is why I love it, which is why I'm getting into like, you know, filmmaking and documentaries and stuff like that, right? It's like, you know, how do I, you know, the reason why not, it's like you look at a year as such as like a season of a series, right? But when you look at the series, it breaks down in different episodes, right? And so each episode, but like episode one is done strategically. Episode two is done strategically. Episode three, it's made to get you hooked, get you in, and then always at the end, there's like a cliffhanger that makes you want to keep going back, all right? And so that's kind of how I saw storytelling, even on social media, right? With the type of posts we were doing, what type of, you know, stories we were sharing, with how things were coming about, right? But they were just watching it in real life, right? But for me, being the director of all of this, right, I just, you know, felt and seen and, you know, could connect things that just made people more and more excited and interested to be a part of, you know what I'm saying? Because they wanted to be a part of this story themselves.
But in order to direct your life, that would require a greater vision, right? And I just wonder how many people actually have a vision for what they want their life to look like, or yeah, if they're kind of going day to day and looking to the left and to the right, like we were talking about before with the comparison.
Yeah. No, that's a very, very valid point. I think 100%, a couple of things that come to my mind is people used to ask me, can you describe yourself in like a word or two? I've always said visionary realist. That's a word that I feel like describes me, right? Like I have big dreams and goals and visions just like everybody else, but I'm very, very realistic with actually seeing how things play, right? So I'll give a good example, right? The way you do that is this: you have to have vision, yes. And then you have to start making your way towards it. But as things happen, you adjust, right? It's almost like a lot of times, even TV series, right? They'll shoot 5 episodes. They'll let it play out as they're shooting the next ones, right? And they're kind of sensing, you know what I'm saying? Or like somebody passes away, in real life, right? So now they have to position the story to go another way, right? Or like Meghan Markle, who was on Suits, you know, goes and marries the prince, right? So they have to figure out a way to cut her out, right? Like you have this vision as if you're creating this, you know, 12 episode, you know, series, right? With an end goal. That end goal for me might be like everybody meeting at BYOB retreat, right? But then like, I have this goal, I know where I'm going, but I curate like the first few episodes, I see what happens, and then I start curating more, right? And then I start adjusting based off of big wins, big losses, big opportunities that might come in, and then you just kind of continue to create that story. But again, that director has that ability, you know what I'm saying, to do that. And it's a very, very fun and it's a very, very exciting thing to do. But your vision is like your 30,000 level view, your macro view. And your execution is like what you do in the day to day to get there, but to be nimble enough to be able to adjust and grow and still get to the end destination. Does that make sense?
Yes. And that idea of being nimble and just being flexible in general, I feel like it's a struggle for many people because they'll get the vision and then they'll just do the same thing.
That's good. So you know what the issue then there is? I started watching, so funny. The issue there is this. The issue there in reality is that I recently started watching a Scandal again, right? Starting from episode one, season one, right? I was like,
the first episode is just incredible. I remember watching it and I was like,
yeah. So I watched it, and more so because like I just loved how Olivia Pope moves and I like how she manages her team. So I'm like, I'm trying to channel my, you know what I'm saying, inner blah, 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 as I'm like building and growing to the next phase of things. One of the things in the show Scandal that happens a lot that herself and her team is very aware of is she always says, I always follow my gut, my intuition, right? Now, what happens in your scenario that you just mentioned that people aren't able to adjust or pivot is a couple of things happens. One is either their gut is wrong, right? And so they need to, again, calibrate their gut. And when I say, and that sounds weird, but all it is experience, right? Maybe you don't have enough experience to make the right decisions, right? Maybe you haven't failed enough times maybe you haven't gone through all the doors to realize which door is the best. You know what I'm saying? And so that's okay. But what happened is if you're not able to make the decisions and pivot and turn, it's because you're still trying to figure it out. And that's okay. Give yourself that grace, but understand that you're still calibrating your intuition. You're still calibrating your gut. And anybody that gets to put the position like, you know, like I Am In or Olivia Pope is in. It's just because they've just trucked through, opened all the doors, saw what worked, saw what did, and then they got to a place, right, where they could start making decisions and it started working out. You know what I'm saying? They knew where the potholes were or is, and they can avoid it. You being a newbie are going to fall to the potholes, and that's okay, right? That's part of the journey to 10,000 hours and expertise or whatever it is, because we've been there too. But the difference is, again, that's why comparing is going to kill you, because you and I might, even if we're the same age, you might think that we're the same, but far from it, right? Because if I started my journey 10 years ago, I want to know a lot more than you do. You know what I'm saying? I can know what potholes, what things to avoid. My gut and my intuition has been calibrated, and you have it, and that's okay though. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, like, it's like you're a baby still trying to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Without demeaning you, but you're a baby in this space, right? And so you have to then get to a point where you know, we've all heard this many, many times, enjoy the journey, you know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah. But we say it, but we don't feel it, right? Going through it, making a mistake and being pissed at yourself, that's feeling it. And then deciding to still keep going forward. Making the wrong decisions, not getting the deals, you know, being backstabbed, you know what I'm saying? Not getting what you want. That's enjoy that. And then you know what I'm saying? Because we say enjoy the journey until we hit something. And then we're like, oh, like this sucks. I can't do it. I can't do it. Like nothing's working for me. You know, everything is against me, blah, blah. That is literally, that part right there is a definition of your journey that you have to enjoy. Enjoy the failures and then, you know, learn from it.
Well, I mean, nobody wants to fail. As somebody for sure. Who's like a recovering perfectionist, like at this point, yeah. I'm like, we'll just figure it out. I'm trying to be more like go with the flow. But I realized that most people like to be, especially achievers, like people who have been good at things for such a long time. Once they get into a space where there's an opportunity to fail, you have the choice to choose, like, will I go down a path where I might fail, or do I just go the safe route? And going the safe route is you get the same results as everyone else, versus mm-hmm.
which is nothing wrong with failing. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, honestly, see, yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I hear that, I think that's the decision the person has to make. That's the decision they want to have to make. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you, you know, big risk, big reward, right? It's like, if you're willing to fail, you might do something amazing. You know what I'm saying? It's very, the way my mind works is it's very different, right? Like even when you said people who, you know, are successful, accomplish a lot, you know what I'm saying? Like, I even think about, there was this quote that I heard recently. It's like, people, the most successful, like, it's weird, right? It's like, if somebody says, like, yo, you're special because you're successful, they think I'm special because they see me as success. I don't think that I'm special. Therefore, I work so hard to then become what you think that I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many, I don't even know what you call it, but I don't even know if that makes sense. But I don't know. I'm just kind of speaking.
It aligns, because when I talk to people, like, I have this perspective of, I have all these things that I will do, I know that I'm working towards, and I haven't yet achieved, but I have these things that I've already achieved. But I don't really recognize them as like achievements, because they just feel very regular to me. So when I like meet people, I'm like, yeah, so here are some of the things, like a podcast, again, a podcast feels like very regular to me, like writing a book feels very regular to me because of the people who I'm kind of in this space with. So I take a step back and realize like everybody's layers and everybody's viewpoints are different based on their experiences. So you're successful in somebody's eyes because of what you've achieved, even though you're thinking, well, I still have so much further to go.
Right.
I see myself.
Yeah. No, I think it's true. I think it's true. And I think it's so many levels to this, man. It's such a dangerous game. I'm only saying this now, coming out of 6 months of therapy, right? It's like, even with what you said again, it's like, you know, me doing a podcast or writing a book, you know, I don't think it's special because of the people that I'm around. You know, like, you're literally comparing yourself to the people around you.
Exactly.
You know
what I'm saying? So it's like, even in that moment, I'm like, I understand it, but I still have so many more things that I want to do. So often I think discount or like, don't think about it as much. right?
Yeah.
Which, like you said, is comparison.
I know. Yeah. And honestly, I, you know, I think I've done it for sure. And it's like, we want to, you know, we want so bad to like stick out or be number one or be different or do something more than others. And it's just, I get it, man. It's just like, you know, sometimes, you know, if I ask you to define what is fulfillment, it's like, you know, it's fulfillment doing what you want to do, or is it just doing it better than other people? You know what I'm saying? like, so that you can like feed your own ego. Right. And then you really start thinking, well, you know, because you're very right in saying, yes, okay, cool. Doing a podcast, writing a book might not seem special. And, you know, I probably thought that way too. But you know what? You could also be like, yo, this is work that I'm really proud of. You know what I'm saying? And I am really happy about it. And, you know, I'm riding and running my own journey and chase, you know what I'm saying? And you could, you know, pat yourself on the back, you know what I'm saying? And embellish in those moments. And honestly, I'm saying this literally coming from a space that I never was in, you know what I'm saying? And so I feel both sides, you know, I think both sides are valid. Yeah,
that's important for people to just take a step back and recognize accomplishments, because that was something that some of my friends said, like, as when I have like a goal that I'm super, super focused on and I'm going towards it and that's the focus and you get there. And I remember some of my friends being like, are you even excited about it? And I'm like, oh, but the journey was so hard.
Like, oh my, what? Like, even everything that I've done, like, it's so weird. Like, hitting these goals, you know, being in front of thousands of people, being featured in Forbes, all this good stuff. It got to me to a point where I was like, I don't even want to share this. Like, I don't feel what I think I'm supposed to be feeling. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody gets so excited. But for me, it's just like, God, like, for what it took to get here, I'm not going down that path again. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even interested. You know what I'm saying? It's so weird. I remember texting one of my friends after a Forbes article came out. And I was like, I kind of don't even want to share this. Like, I already know it's going to attract a whole bunch of people that just don't, you know, it's just energy that just like, it's like people just want more from you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I put all this effort in and it actually doesn't feel that amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just like, it was such a weird feeling. But I think that's what success, man, I've been talking a lot about like success is its own curse in itself. You know what I'm saying? But not like, I'm not talking about like being a millionaire or this. I'm talking about in any form of success, right? Your own definite success. It's its own curse. You know what I'm saying? Writing a book, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause you do it and then you realize, oh, well, what's next, right? What's more, right? It's like, is that it? Like, I accomplished that. Like, what's next? Even graduating from college, like, you can consider that success. But then it's like, okay, well, what do I do with my life now? Like, there's still so much more to do, right? Success is definitely a curse in itself. And then that's where I've really gotten to a place where like, I'm working on being a lot more present. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on not chasing as much, you know what I'm saying? Like appreciating the realness in every day, the feelings of everything. And it's a different life. But I think overall it actually could be a more fulfilling life. It sounds crazy. It's like me just being average, living a regular life, enjoying the moments, breathing the air, running into random people that I run into, just very normal stuff to me right now is more fulfilling than trying to chase after a really, really big goal or worldly, you know what I'm saying, accomplishment, right? It's weird, yo. It's weird.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree, because that's like the place that I'm in now where I said, you know, I want to do things that I enjoy, things that are fun. I am striving to not strive. And just
that's
like
good. That's so good.
South and like that's not good. Having all the things that I deemed really important, and also like all of my stuff is in storage. So now I'm a minimalist, and I'm like,
man, I love it. Yo, it's real, right? You meet some of the most successful people, then you realize why they do what they do, and it's just like it's real. It's like we gain all this stuff to then realize that life is so much. easier and funner without it.
Yeah.
And then we want to become a minimalist and just like, you know, eat clean and like just do things that just are like actually good for you. You know what I'm saying? Versus yeah. what the internet, the commercials and everything just gets pushed down, you know, your throat from a advertising perspective. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, yo. It's crazy.
Yeah, slow. I feel like it's slow living. That was one of the things
that, I've heard of that.
Taught me.
I love it.
Out. Like I'm not rushing. Like, I didn't even realize that even within my body, like, because I was rushing and like running places all the time, that I just had to learn how to just relax and chill and be. And it's just a much calmer space. And think if nothing else, like 2020 for me and 2021 has just taught me, like, you can rest, you can relax, you can. And at this point I'm like moving from just a place of rest, and that's my mood. Like, I don't want to be stressed about stuff. Like, it just is. And whatever happens, happens, with like some level of intention. But
I saw something recently, you know how like there's like the 5 love languages, right? And there was a quote card that came out, and it was like, energy management, it should be like the 6th love language. You know what I'm saying? I think it's real, yo. Like you said, like sleeping, resting, managing your energy, other people's energy, like that alone is very powerful, I believe.
Okay, so what is next for you? I know we've just talked about slow living, so like you may not plan, and that's fine. But what is next for you and your brand? And
businesses? Yeah. So I mean, honestly, right now it's funny. What's next for me is honestly, I'm excited to continue the journey that I started in 2020. Right. I'm actually, I personally plan on probably still laying low 2021. Not only for my own sake, but I'm the type of guy where it's like, I have very good intuition when it comes to market sentiment. And it's like, I know everybody's, I see all down my timeline right now. People are popping up, ready to like jump back in the streets, hustle, tours, this, that, like book launches, like people are ready, you know what I'm saying? And trying to get in areas and cities where like it's wide open and stuff like that. And for me, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna just let everybody come out, you know, run their sprint, whatever. Get tired in 6 months or 12 months, and then I'll pop up and do something. You know what I'm saying? So I think for me, I'm never in a rush to be first. I prefer to be the best. And I think being the best just requires time. It requires patience and requires strategy and alignment and so many things. And so again, because I don't compare or try, but I had to catch myself. Cause I'm like, man, all these people, I want to do it. It's just like, why do I feel like I kind of want to do something? And I catch myself like, yo, just chill, stick to your own pace. You know what I'm saying? You know that you're going to try to, like, I've been working on eating better, like working out, like stuff like that. Right. Let me just stick to that. You know what I'm saying? And not let that go by the wayside to try to find out the next business opportunity or learn the next marketing hack. You know what I'm saying? Like it requires intention. Slow living or moving at your own pace requires, you know, a lot of intention in itself, which is kind of weird, right? It's like doing less requires more. You know, kind of work. But that's real. Even designing. I mean, I learned that back when I used to study Apple, you know, minimalistic design actually is harder because it's like, how do I get the messaging that we want across with the least amount of information? And it requires a lot of thinking to figure that out. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody can just put all the information on a flyer, then it's like the most jumbled, ugly looking flyer in the world. But it's like, you have to remove everything, just enough to get the message that you want to cross in a very minimal, and that's a whole art form in itself, but it requires, you know, simple design isn't simple. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a thing we talk about a lot when it comes to creativity and stuff like that. But that's what I was working on, and, you know, taking care of myself and then working with a lot of production. We talked about that a lot. Like, a lot of people saw what we've been able to do when it comes to live events or digital events, virtual summits, all that good stuff. And a lot of people have been hitting this up like, yo, can you do this for us too? Right. And so, it allows me to work with people that have bigger budgets and allows me to do what I'm more passionate now, which is really production, filmmaking, documentary. Like I want to take storytelling to that next level. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, my next goal is probably going to be, you know, working on trying to get a Netflix deal or a Hulu deal or something like that. Right. I'm really excited about that. And, you know, that'll be probably a 4-year journey itself, right? Starting over, and just using everything I've learned over the past 10, 12 years But then still being a newbie, you know, and a freshman in this new craft, right? And then just enjoying that journey, meeting first time filmmakers or experienced filmmakers, just going in there without anybody knowing who I am. You know what I'm saying? Being in rooms that I can't leverage my network and my name and my brand, right? It's just, hey, look, I'm a freshman and I'm excited, but you know what? It drives me and I'm passionate about it and it fulfills me. So that's what I do.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight. And as I mentioned before, like it has been so cool to just kind of watch you, how you lead a space, how you lead a market, and how so many people find such value in what you offer. So thank you so much for sharing with the incredible audience. So did you have anything else you wanted to add? Any last words? You've said a lot, so no pressure.
No, I'm good.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I'm good. I mean, if anybody listening is interested in hosting events or doing conferences and creating experiences and tours and summits, more than happy to help. Shoot us an email, andrew@byoblive.com. And, we'll have our team, the same team that has created and done everything that we've done, support you as well. So.
Excellent. Thanks, Drew.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Did you know that all the resources mentioned today can be found in the show notes on caseysharverson.com/podcast? That's a great place for you to connect with me and the incredible guests that you get to meet on the show. Then make sure that you subscribe anywhere that you're listening to this podcast. That way you'll never miss an episode. If you happen to have iTunes, could you do me a quick favor and leave a review? It'll take just 30 seconds and it would mean so much to me. I also want to invite you to share this episode with anyone, and I do mean anyone, who needs a little encouragement, motivation, or clarity as they pursue their big dreams. You never know how that simple act can change someone's day. These are just two quick and easy ways to get this message out to more and more people around the world. Until next time, make sure to go after your dreams. I believe in you, and the world needs your brilliance.